All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers? What the fuck buddies? What the fucksters? What's happening? Mark Maron here. This is WTF, my podcast. Welcome. Thank you for coming. I hope you're okay. Hope you're bouncing back from Valentine's Day. I know most of you have the day off today, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be spent in the best mental state. Today I've got Abby Jacobson, Alana Glazer from Broad City. That's happening. I happen to be very lucky in that the woman I'm seeing, the painter, Sarah Kane, really did not realize it was Valentine's Day and kind of made other plans. So all I can say is I'm blessed. But I did remember. I've learned my lesson that you better do a little something. Or even doesn't matter, male or female, who's ever in charge of doing the thing or who's ever in doing the nice thing for Valentine's Day. If one of you says it's not important, I would not take that to heart. I would go ahead and make a little effort. I did. I woke up and I made waffles with this nasty old waffle iron that I have. And I think it was nice. I think it was a nice thing to do. I made cornmeal waffles. But I did lose my shit a little bit when the first one stuck. And I know that the first one always sticks. The first pancake, the first waffle are bullshit. I'm not seeing it as symbolic in any way, but I did get a little aggravated. But I caught myself and I said, why ruin the morning, Mark? It's Valentine's Day, even though the woman you're seeing, it's not important to her. Why ruin the day anyways? With waffle angst. But love. Love. Is that what Valentine's is? Is that what it's about? Is it guilt? Is it doing something nice? Is it a sham and a scam put together by the greeting cards company and some sort of traditional idea? Flower sales, whatnot, chocolates. Is it an actual day where people reflect on love, or they're just sort of like, oh, I get to eat that brunch today? But I, you know, love. Yeah, I know a lot of people were alone out there on Valentine's Day, and that's sort of a rough gig, even if you don't believe in it, even if you think it's stupid. It's hard to see all those couples in different variations of true relationship or playing the role out there doing the thing, and you're walking by, dragging your feet. Love is tricky, man. The one thing I've been realizing now about myself, when I look at myself in pictures and I see myself on television, is that there was a sense of desperation and aggravation and need and anger that I could always identify, and that I assume obviously people were not going to be as sensitive to it as I was, but it was there. It's something you can't hide. It's sort of it's similar to wearing your heart on your sleeve. But I've been noticing that some of that shit is going away, obviously because things are going okay, obviously because I'm getting older, obviously because I'm not freaked out about my career as much, and obviously because I truly don't give a shit about a lot of things. And that's a relief. And there's nothing you can do to make that go away. You can pretend and act as if and do the next right thing or whatever you're going to do. And then, you know, hopefully you ease into it. But that's happening. But unfortunately, alongside of that is like, all right, so maybe I finally landed in my body and I'm comfortable with myself. Is that there are some things that I know are still fucked up. But then, you know, once you really become comfortable with yourself and you don't give as much of a shit about things that used to bother you, there's also this kind of like, you know, maybe I'm just going to fucking live with this shit. Maybe I'm going to live with this, these emotional liabilities, these problems, this sadness, or, you know, why do I need to struggle and fight in love? You know, maybe that's just the way I am. And I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, life is relatively short. You're not going to fix everything. And, you know, I've thought about this and talked about it before, but I think if you surrender to it and you do have the desire to change, and you know what it is that you probably need to change, that sometimes the work is just surrendering to it and accepting it, accepting who you are, and then say to yourself in your secret little mind that, you know, like, why I'd like to change that. So just plant that seed in your head, but be okay with who you are. And sometimes, I would say more so than not, it will partially manifest the changes you want to make. But if you're approaching it with desperation, like, oh, fuck, I got to fix this. Oh, fuck, I got to do this. Oh, fuck, I got to figure this out. God damn it. Why can't I just get to this place? Why? If you propel yourself with that same desperation for perfecting what cannot be perfected, the flawed heart of the human, then you're always going to have that look in your eye or that anger in your eye or that sadness in your eye. But if at some point you go like, well, fuck, this is who I am, and you really fucking accept it, and you know you want to change at least a little bit to experience something differently than what you're used to, I think it'll happen. I think it will manifest if you truly accept yourself with all your flaws. That's my Valentine's Day message. And if you were alone on Valentine's Day, I mean, be thankful. You have nothing to lose. That might be cynical, might be sad. You might be nurturing a broken heart or longing for someone in an unrequited way. But there's beauty in that too. Just don't hurt yourself. That's my general message for all holidays. Try not to hurt yourself. Could you? Could you do that? So, these Broad City gals, females, I like them. It's weird because, Abby and Alana, I had the opportunity to talk to them and I want to talk to them. I like talking to creative people. And, I got caught up a bit with Broad City. I watched it. I started to get it. It's interesting with things. And I know this for myself. And I talked to them about it a little bit. That with certain shows, it's like anything else. It's like music. It's like any sort of art of any sort of creative person. It takes a while to get the groove, both as an audience and as the people creating it. I know I've gotten better on my show. This is the fourth season. God knows I should be comfortable. I'm no Olivier, but I sort of eased into myself and have a more comfort on set and what can and can't happen on the show and what I can and can't do as a character. And that's the same with anything. There's an evolution, especially with comedians. By nature, comics on television or in movies, we tend to be a little self-conscious, and I'm very sensitive to it, especially if I know whoever's doing it and who I'm watching. Some are better than others, but it just takes time. So, I took the time, I got the groove, and I really started to enjoy Broad City. Generationally, there's a difference, but it ain't that big of a difference, and there are some things that I definitely related to, and one of the things that I related to was, and this is with Louis too and Woody Allen and people who are very committed and really use New York City as a character in their work. There are New York City artists and writers and people who do films and TV and the people that embrace New York and that really showcase New York the best are the people that have a real relationship with the city. And one of the things that's great about Broad City is that I know all those places. And if you watch Broad City, you could see some of those places on Louis' show too. You could see some of those places in Woody Allen's movies. It's like there are some pieces of film and music that embrace New York full-heartedly. And, having lived there on and off for over a decade, I have a real romantic and love-hate relationship with New York and also a sort of love-hate relationship with how the sort of profile of the city has changed. Is the profile or the texture, the culture of the city? It's very hard to identify what was once there. And I think talking to Alana and Abby, we kind of got into that, and also to approach New York as a comedic foil, has been done to death. And watching their show, they actually managed to do it a little differently. And the other great difference about the generational difference between me and the Broad City gals is that what's great about their show is there's a lot of things that are just are that when I was coming up or even 5 or 10 years ago, they just weren't. They had to be explained. They had to be, stuff about, sexuality, ethnicity, different types of relationships, how women are depicted. I like the way that Abby and Alana just, It just is. You don't have to explain anything. This is the life we're living. This is New York. This is our generation. This is the landscape of our experience. And it's definitely different than when I was a kid. And I love it. I really had a great time talking to them. And also, there's a Jewish component to today's show, as does happen sometimes on this show. What was great is I want you to know that before they came over, I made sure to clean my toilet because I wanted it to be nice for the women. And when they came over like at 11 in the afternoon. And I will love Alana Glazer forever for walking in. And I was just sort of like, you know, getting set up, and I had to go out front to get a chair because there are two of them, and I didn't like the chair I have in here. It's kind of loose. It was a loose transition from their car to the house. Made some coffee, offered him coffee, and Alana said, you know, if we're being so casual, can I have a bowl of cereal? I didn't eat breakfast. And I was very happy to give Alana a bowl of puffins with unsweetened almond milk, which she said she preferred, right? That is a woman after my own sad middle-aged heart. Yeah, I love Barbara's puffins with unsweetened almond milk. She didn't even stevia that shit, man. She just ate it. And then we did the thing. And here is the thing. Just made two notes. Here's what I wrote. I wrote that Abby Jacobson, straight hair.
That is so funny. I was gonna joke that was your fucking note, because literally our friend's dad did that. Abby's straight, Alana curly. No,
that's what I wrote.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Look, I wrote that straight.
That is so curly. My hair's not fucking funny.
Why do you think that is?
Because you're an older dude and you see two young women, and you're like, oh, straight curly. I don't fucking know.
Well, I watch, you know, I didn't watch all of the shows, but I watched a bunch of them, you know, and I still, I imagine there are people like the people that are huge fans of the show. They're like, oh, Abby's so this and, you know, Lana's so that. But like, I had to get it in my head. Not because I'm old. Why? What is that?
And a man, I said.
And a man. I don't remember people's names that I've known for 20 years. It's fucking tragic.
That is tragic.
Well, no, I'm so self-involved that like even the people I keep running into again and again, I'm like, oh, it's that fucking guy again.
You're like, nose guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, nose guy.
I know them, but I just can't fucking manage their names. So what, you know, I'm glad you used the bathroom. Because I went out of my way to clean the toilet.
Oh, that's cool.
It was so clean.
That's cool of you.
I like that you have the Myers. I'm really into that Myers hand soap.
Right?
It's so good. What did we use? We all are like into that now. What did everyone use before that?
I've tried other ones. Like sometimes I'll just get the supermarket brand and it works. But there's something about the Myers label that makes you believe in it.
I know. It's like a crisp,
gross,
graphic. It looks old, kind of.
Yeah, right.
Retro.
Like, it's old school. It's such bullshit. It's
you don't buy into it?
New sincerity.
You're
right.
Not into it?
No, I love it.
It's bordering
on. I have it, and I got two refills, and I prefer bar soap.
Right.
And I still got refills because I was like, when I had to buy it on a show.
Right. That's what it is. It's the new authenticity. It's like bordering on artisanal.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I buy
your
into
local
it.
Local soap, even right, though like, we all have it. You can get it anywhere.
It's off Amazon from England or something. Yeah. It's like
I've Nancy people, Myers, right?
Yeah. I've had people make me soaps. Like, do people send you, do fans, what are you getting from the fans now? Nothing? Do you filter that stuff? Does it come to you? Is there a P.O. box?
It doesn't really come to us. We did a tour and we got some stuff that was like.
We get weed.
Right.
Well, when weed is handed to us, when they hand it to us, that's dope. But when they want to smoke with us, it's like, no.
Oh, no. There's this sort of like, you guys want it? I'm like, nah, I can't, you know.
Yeah, I'm not doing this.
When you go on tour, when did you go on tour? Did you just get off tour?
Right before the second season. So two Novembers ago.
How many dates?
It was like the whole month of November. Yeah. I think we did like 24 shows.
Yeah.
It was
some
cool.
Were double.
And okay, two a night. So where'd you go? Comedy clubs, small theaters?
Rock clubs.
Rock clubs. So you're up on the elevated stage with the monitors, people standing, did they seat them?
We liked seated.
It's better, right?
We had some standing, like Seattle was standing, and that was like...
It's awkward, right?
Yeah.
Because it makes you uncomfortable. I wish you guys could sit down.
Me too. And it's like...
I felt like they were just...
uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable. It was, they were discomfort.
Yeah. It's like, I feel bad. You guys got to stand up and do the show. And like how, like, so what, 400 to 800 people coming?
I think our biggest venue was in D.C.
Oh, yeah?
It was like 1,500.
Yeah, 4 to 8, I feel like.
And our show is like, we're not, Alana's done more stand-up than I do, but we're not, it wasn't stand-up. It was like this weird show. We had been doing a show, a live show at UCB for a couple
in
years.
In the basement
while
in New York?
Yeah. And it was just Broad City Live, and it was just us doing whatever we thought was funny and having guests on. So for the tour we had different stand-ups, friends of ours, open for us.
Like who?
Naomi Ekperigin, who writes on our show.
Yeah.
Sabrina Jaliz.
Kevin Barnett.
Rory Scovel.
How many openers? Two?
Just one.
Just one guy. So you guys could go do 45 minutes of sketch? Basically,
we did like an hour.
Yeah,
and then we had some video stuff because it was kind of a tour for, like, leading up to the second season. So we had some characters on the show do little bits.
It was almost like contextualized stand up where we did this this thing like soundtrack of our lives, where we were like different moments in our lives and like songs that we would play for them.
Yeah,
when you like make soundtracks for like a certain time in your life,
like
or something.
A mixtape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was like kind of like being able to like talk about something but having this context to work off of.
Right. And did you guys, because like now you're just sitting here being yourselves, but the dynamic on stage, how does that play out?
Yeah, it was amplified.
It's amplified. It wasn't quite. But it's not them on the show, but it's not quite us. So we're.
Yeah.
You come to a live show and you're like, it's Abby and Alana from the show, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, the curly haired one, the straight haired one.
I straighten that hair.
That's right.
Who's your audience do you find when you look out there? Is it men? Is it women? Is it young people? Is it people dressed like in plaid shirts like me? Like, is it hipsters? How do you categorize them?
Yeah, I think it's like hipsters. I felt like it was like a lot of couples.
Oh, yeah?
But
yeah.
After the shows, we would do meet and greets, and like people that got merch, we would sign everything. So we met a ton of people.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I mean, like, I think a lot of women watched the show, but a lot of dudes too. It was
really
also
like
awesome.
Pretty queer. Our like demo was pretty queer.
Yeah.
It was dope.
It was the coolest. It was so hard, but it was so fucking cool.
Queer and diverse. All these and cities. Straight and, you know, white. You know, it was like, oh, you know.
Well, I think that you guys do that. Like the benefit of having the backdrop of New York and being sort of in the generation that you're in, where all this shit is breaking down in New York, is this melting pot of, you know, gender and sexuality and ethnicity and everything else, and the sort of open-mindedness of the show and the comedy of it. It's very all-encompassing of people that are progressive and interesting.
It's such a special place. Like, we've been
New
out
York?
Here for, yeah, and we've been out here for a couple weeks, and like we both love LA, but it's like so like. Comfortable, but New York, it's so unbelievable.
It's like a battery. Like, you can't, if you know how to be in New York when you're there, you're like, you know, you can't, you're engaged all the time, you have no choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's someone in your face at all times.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very electrifying.
Like, I've been here, I've been here for 2 weeks, and we go back this weekend, and I'm like, excited to ride the subway.
Oh, yeah.
What?
And it's like, freezing.
I can't wait to be able to. Just because I've been so in my car, which I like driving, but I'm also excited to be like among people again.
Right.
Here you're
to be
just
part
not.
Of the big body of New York.
Yeah.
I wonder what would happen to you guys if you stayed out here. You should do a whole season where you moved to LA and just everything. You don't know how to get pot.
Yeah. I was talking to someone about doing promos like on a lot that looks
That's
like
so
New York.
Funny. Paul was just saying.
I was saying it to Paul.
Oh, like, Paul was just saying.
Was he saying like it was his idea? Because it sounds like...
No, we might have been talking about it together. Okay. Paul writes on the show,
Paul W.
Too.
Downs. He's Axon writes on the show.
And we...
But he was saying, like, a whole season on the New York lot, and we pretend it's
It
New
becomes,
York.
Like, the Seinfeld New York.
Yeah. Right, oh, right.
Which is, like, one block.
It's so funny watching the show, because, like, I know all those places. I mean, I wandered those streets all, and I'm like, oh, there's that bit.
Are you like, that's not that restaurant anymore?
Well, I haven't gotten that specific, but there are certain blocks where I'm like, I know exactly where that is.
Did you see our St. Mark's episode?
I didn't. Which one? What happened?
It's just that
it's
block.
It's all St. Mark's?
That one will give you douche chills on St.
Mark's
between third and second.
Yeah, I know the chunk, but like when I was there, it was like, it's now I don't different. Even know what it is.
Yeah.
Or St. Mark's between Lafayette and what, third? That like towards right by Cooper Union.
That, yeah, that's just that block.
Right. That used to be so fucking different. I don't even know what it is now.
I know. Now it's like
Asian noodle places.
Yeah,
and
it's
stuff.
Like NYU's like, and like little markets.
Is that what? Yeah, they've taken over the entire part of the city.
Complete
yeah.
downtown.
Where do you go? What's authentic anymore? What are your haunts?
Ooh, B&H is authentic.
Oh yeah, do you know B&H?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that the bagels or no?
It's right off St. Mark's, but it's this little
the Jewish food place.
Yeah,
the counter.
Yes,
the dairy counter.
I haven't been in a while though.
Me
we
too.
Gotta go.
I gotta go.
Actually, it's freezing in New York right now.
It's
we gotta
good,
go
good.
Again. Matzo ball soup.
Is that what they have there?
Tomato
they just
soup
have, like,
and grilled
soups.
Cheese.
But you guys, but you're not from the city either, are you, right?
No, I'm from Long Island.
And I'm from outside Philly.
Outside, how far? Oh, really? So how far from Jersey? How far from New York? Hour and a half, hour 45?
I'm like an hour and a half from New York. I'm northwest, so yeah. Like 20, 25 minutes outside the city.
But you grew up going into the city every weekend, I imagine, right?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not. Yeah. I mean, I didn't do like shows. I would just go in and walk
right,
around.
Right, just to be like, I'm in New York.
Yeah, and be like, north, south, east and west, and like to flex that, you know. And then when I like got to New York, I like lost my compass. I was so like, oh fuck,
yeah.
I'm fucking here now. I don't know what I'm doing. This is like way deeper than the idea of like it's cool to walk around a block.
Well, that's the weird thing. When you first go to New York, even if you live in Long Island, you're like, I'm just gonna walk around. And then like nothing happens. You just walk for blocks and blocks. You're like, I should have some destination because
yes.
I'm exhausted.
Yes, exactly.
Where'd you end up gravitating towards when did you start going in, like taking the train in, like 14 or 15?
More like, I was like nervous. Maybe more like 16. I'm like 16.
Were your parents nervous? Like, you'll disappear.
Yes.
Which town?
I did go. What town on Long Island?
Yeah.
Smithtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's near Stony Brook University.
Alana was like a good girl until she got bad.
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah, I still am. I still am.
You're the good girl?
But you weren't like going into
honestly,
the city
truly,
to like
truly
fucking go to concerts and like
or do anything. Yeah,
were you,
boys or
so
do
were
anything.
You?
I was, and I think we met and then switched because I was much crazier in high school and college than I am now. And you, not that you're crazy at all now.
I'm just
we're
freer.
Like the same, but.
But you play, but in on the show, you play the sort of like anything goes person and you're like the kind of like you need your things. Mm-hmm. You have to have your things to
yes.
manage your life.
You need your things.
Yes, I need
so
it.
Like, funny.
It's lined
so
up.
Funny.
Yeah.
What?
You need your things. Yeah. That's right. That's succinct. Damn. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So what kind of childhood? Like middle class, Jewish, you know, everything's okay, progressive parents. Let me just keep projecting like I'm in a fucking Woody Allen movie.
I know. That's so funny. You know when, what's her name? Allison Kahn?
Uh-huh.
You know that part?
In, Carol Kane?
Carol Kane.
Yeah. Right. Let me guess, Ben
you know?
Sean. Huh?
Yeah, yeah,
because
exactly.
I knew the scene that I was
yeah,
that I found myself
exactly,
referencing.
Exactly, this scene in Annie Hall where Woody Allen's like, let me guess, A, B, C, and D.
Yeah, Ben
like,
Sean drawings on the wall, socialist summer camps. Yeah, yeah.
She's like, yeah, that's what, you know, she's like pissed that he like nails it, but I'm like, I'm not even pissed. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah, but the more updated version of it.
Yeah. Like just what, me and my brother.
Older, younger?
He's 4 years older. He's also on the show. He's a comedian too. And
what's his name?
Elliot.
Wow.
Glazer.
Comedic family.
Yeah. And my like parents are funny and my we just like kind of entertained ourselves.
Yeah.
And,
what version of Jews are they? Like what's your dad
reform,
do?
Reform. He's a like financial planner, sells like insurance and shit.
Sells insurance.
Yeah.
And your mom
like works with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From the house?
No, just like part-time, like goes
oh,
to his
yeah.
office.
Right.
And they're
keeps
like,
an eye on things.
Exactly. And they're and they're like married for many years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so rare.
I know. It is rare.
And they're still married and happy and proud.
They're very proud. They seem quite happy. They're
okay, like, now we're going to switch over to Abby. What, you Pennsylvania Jew?
Yep.
How'd that happen?
Well, my mom's from Jersey.
Right,
my mom's
okay.
from like
right,
Cherry Hill,
to,
South
right,
Jersey.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
And my dad's from like Philly.
Yeah.
They met at
does
overnight
he talk like
camp.
Philly?
Yes.
No, I don't. Does he?
They both do.
She
yeah.
catches my Philly accent, but I don't know.
They
it.
Both do. He's like,
my mom yeah. has a South Jersey accent.
Uh huh. I can't identify it. Sometimes people say I talk like that, but I don't know what it is. I can identify Philly, but I can't identify Jersey that well.
I think it's similar, but yeah. I don't think I have a crazy, I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But every once in a while she's like, Philly.
It's a subtle thing, that accent is like,
Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's just, it's fucking pure like East Coast bro shit. Like there's an edge to it,
it's almost like a
real strong Philly accent with the right momentum can actually hurt your face.
That's like, you know, so funny.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's true. Like, whoa, you go around talking like that all
right,
the time.
Right, right. I'll settle down.
Yeah.
What? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, they met at overnight camp?
They met at overnight camp.
Really? When they were kids?
They were like 15.
That's so sweet.
It's very sweet. I have a very cool family life. They're not married anymore, but they're friends.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Always?
Yeah, like we did Thanksgiving together.
And they both have family. Do they have spouses?
Yeah. My dad just engaged. I do. I'm not close with them.
Does it happen later?
It happened
Right. This is your stepbrother. Like, all right.
Yeah, I was in college. I was like, yeah. I don't know.
That's good luck.
But I have an older brother too.
Oh, really?
Like 3.5, 4 years older.
That's it.
And so he has 2 kids. And mm-hmm. once that happened, my parents were like, let's do holidays together.
Sure.
Because it's like
grandkids. Yeah.
So that's working out.
What's your older brother do?
He's a graphic designer.
So now you had older brothers, like, because like the theme on this show seems to be the influence of older siblings, mm-hmm. brothers specifically, and you two are women. What, you know, was there, did you get along with them? Was there music? Did they show you the way somehow?
Everything. Yeah. I was.
Everything.
It's so funny. So Alana kind of came to comedy, I think, quicker than I did, because my brother is not in like this, into
right.
this at all.
Yeah.
But I was a big tomboy, very athletic because of my brother.
Uh-huh.
My brother was so into Fish and the Dead and
was
all
he?
That. And so I was.
Really?
I was into all of that.
So you caught the
that
tail
was like
end
high
of
school.
Yes.
The Jerry Dead? You caught the tail end of that?
He died in 97, so I was too young.
You missed it.
But I remember the day
that
he died.
Really? Your brother was pretty broken up?
I was at overnight camp and it was like announced.
Overnight camp? Was it Jewish overnight camp?
We were so reformed, so it wasn't like religious at all, but everybody was
right,
religious.
Right.
But I remember it was announced like over the loudspeaker.
Oh,
over the loudspeaker.
Oh,
I was like
12. God.
Like it's like 9/11 or something.
It was like a moment, let's have a moment of silence for Jerry Garcia. And it was like, I actually didn't love him yet, so I didn't understand the significance of that day until I was high school. All my friends and I, we would go to see. Like, I went to see all the...
Was there a day...
Reincarnations of the Dead.
Oh, yeah,
Rat
yeah.
Rat Dog,
yeah, yeah.
Phil and Friends, like
right,
all of
right,
those.
Right, right,
yeah.
right. Bob Weir and was Rat Dog? Who was...
Rat Dog is Bob Weir.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Phil and Friends is Phil Esch.
Phil, right.
I didn't really see Mickey Hart.
There's a drum thing that happens. He does a drum
like
thing.
Like a circle.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do that.
So
but
that
I kind of want to see, they're coming out again with John Mayer, actually, and I haven't seen them yet.
I listened to some of that, you know, and I listened to him handle those solos, and he's sort of a kind of a specific guitar player. It's okay.
It's okay.
But you're not going to hear like that weird lyrical noodling.
Right.
Listen to us talking Dead now. But, and I'm not even a huge Dead
I'm not even, I'm like, you know, I dabbled.
Right,
but
right.
I was
Me too.
So into that because everything... That
just,
my brother did.
How many like little like hacky sack hippie kids were at camp that were just sort of like, no, I guess we're not playing hacky today in honor of Jerry.
A lot. It was like a thing. A lot.
No hacky
it's
today.
It's so
man.
Funny.
No hacky today.
We hacky sack on the show because we have an episode where we go to Philly.
Yeah.
To clean out my bedroom.
You find a hacky?
Because we do the whole thing. We clean out all
and
my
like
jam band
her,
gear.
I'm like,
yeah, man.
Yeah,
you
it's
got a
so,
hacky,
it's
man.
So real.
Yes, money, man. Yeah, man. Such a type.
Yeah, I know.
It's so wild that type has existed and persisted. Like, because a lot of types just sort of fade out, but that thing, there's a constant to
I know.
It.
Because it's like my dad, too. Like, my dad was all, like, classic rock, so we just were, and I don't know if it's now, though. I wonder now if that's...
The Fish thing still, I guess they're done too in a way, aren't they? Are they back? Are they? These guys, they break up for a week and they're like, we're going
back. But I wonder if the audience has any like high school kids. I don't know. That was like all my friends in high school. We would
were fish
do that.
Heads.
Yeah.
Is that what they call them? Fishers?
Fish
or fish
fans.
Fish, oh, it's just fish fans. Okay. Oh, is that what it is?
I don't know. I never refer to myself.
But
like
there's
that
whole parking lot trip where you go to the concert like 2 days early. You know, with a sleeping bag and just wander around and catch frisbees.
Yeah, and they like set up
cool.
little like,
yeah.
there's like stands in the lot. There's like Shakedown Street, which is where you can buy shit.
Yeah. It's fun. Me and my brother drove, like, he was living in Arizona, and we drove from, like, Tucson to Anaheim to see the Dead and Dylan. Oh. I was not in great shape. And he had this convertible. I don't know what. It was some used convertible. He's a little younger than me. And we picked up some little guy hitchhiking to the show. This little guy named Eli. And we thought, like, oh, cool little hippie elf. We'll pick him up. And then he had no place to stay. And he sort of turned evil. Like, it was fucked up. Because, well, we got a hotel room and we couldn't get rid of Eli, right? And then he starts, like, he gets a pack of matches, not wooden matches, but the book of matches. And he starts ripping off little pieces of each match. And he puts them in a bag. He's like, I'm selling acid today. He was just scamming fucking hippie kids selling bunk drugs.
Yikes.
And me and my brother were like, what do we do? Who do we turn him into?
We can't bring him to the show. You guys are going to bring this evil guy.
He would have figured out how to get to the show, but like, who do you warn? When am I going to follow him around the park and like, no, it's bullshit, you know?
And it's almost like kind of people's own fault for not recognizing acid.
Tell the police. You're like, he's selling fake drugs. Yeah. Like, what?
There's like bizarro cops at like a fish festival.
What is that?
No, I'm like making it up. Oh, it's just like, I don't know. They like make sure all the acid is real.
Oh, right, right. Like we got a taster, a drug taster. Yeah. Just a guy that walks around all fucked up and sweaty.
Exactly.
He's like, this is legit. This is good.
Yeah. I got to sit down.
Yeah.
I got to lay down. So, all right. So you grew up with that. And like, what did your brother bring to the
table? See, that was like, that was like wild. Like my brother and I, we like as kids made hundreds of hours of sketch videos. We just like wanted to do comedy forever.
What drove you to that? I mean, who were you watching? Why did you? Because you're like half my age almost. And is that true? What are you, 28?
Mm-hmm.
So who were you watching that was like, this is why we want to do comedy?
Okay, so I grew up like in the 80s and 90s.
But like, there must have been like something like, this is fucking hilarious. We can do this.
No, just all of it.
Yeah. But you knew it was something you could do.
Yeah. And we like did like plays and musicals too.
For who? Your parents?
No, like at school and at camp and at the Y and like at, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, and like we were musicians and
what do you play?
Drums.
Oh yeah?
And I could do rhythm, piano.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
And what were some of the early efforts and sketch wise and musical wise? Did you write songs?
I did write songs. Uh-huh. There are like some like videos out there from Acoustic Cafe in high school of the songs I wrote and played.
Where can people find those?
I don't know.
You do know.
I don't know.
There's a video you recently showed me of you playing the drums in like a chorus.
Oh my God. In a percussion ensemble.
Yes.
There's like a...
Oh, you were in a drum circle.
Video online. So. Yeah.
But it's like for school all in like... buttoned up.
Like, it was like militant.
Yeah.
I really
just on a snare.
But she's really good. That was part of our live show. We did this like drum battle. Oof. Where Alana was really good and I
best part
can't
of the show. Only see the last 15
minutes. We got two full sets
of drums
like around
and you
us.
Brought them up.
And so like, Alana could like do it and then it would like come to me and I'd be like,
oh, that's funny.
And like drum battle, but it was like drumming and then comedy. And then
Yeah. Because I could have to.
The standard setup.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
You were the straight man to her goof.
Yeah.
We flipped
to her
switch.
Big old goof.
But that was like, funny. Did you reveal the drum sets? Was it a closer? Like, I mean, was it sort of like, you know, the lights came up and there were two full drum sets?
We could have done that, but we didn't have enough.
Right?
They had to be on stage because they were like too elaborate to like bring
out.
So
they were just sitting there and people were like, what's up with
the drum sets? Yeah, and it was like at the very end, we would do it for 5 minutes in like an hour show.
And you jammed and she just...
She's really good.
Because like I can do like the different styles, so it was fun to be like, okay, start with rock, then do jazz, then do like samba.
You're a real drummer.
Yeah. I thought I wanted to be like a orchestra percussionist.
Not too late, man.
Really? You just wanted to be the one waiting?
I like timpani.
Right.
Timpani.
Boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom.
It's so fun. I do miss being in a band and being like a big band, not even like a... I would do like jazz.
Jazz combo?
Yeah, for real I would. I'm like a real nerd. I really am.
Really?
It's
you
funny.
Got jazz people that you love?
Yeah, you know, Brubeck, Miles Davis, you know, the standard Coltrane.
Stuff?
Yeah, Oscar Peterson. My dad is an incredible musician.
Oh, really?
So my brother, like, it trips me out. Elliot can do what my dad can do, where they can hear something and then their fingers find the keys.
And Elliot is like an amazing singer.
Elliot's an incredible singer. Yeah, so we just were always just had this like nervous energy that, lucky enough, my parents like saw that we could channel it in this way. So we just always performed.
Isn't it wild though? Like, because like I play music, but I never had necessarily
guitar.
I never necessarily had the courage to sort of pursue it as a career, because like I know there's a lot of funny people that like are pretty fucking good musicians, but there's something simplifying and concise about comedy where like it's very immediate. You don't have to rely on other people necessarily. Well, you guys are in sketch situations, you do, but I wonder what it is, why people who are incredibly musically talented don't necessarily sort of like do that. It's a harder life, and it's not as
it's a different, also like comedy is so transparent, and it's like easy to be, you're like, it's easy to like craft your image and you're being honest, but you're also choosing what you want to say. Yeah. Whereas music, it's like you truly are like, I hope you think I'm cool. You know, like I fucking hope you think I look cool and sound cool. And it's like there's something more transparent about that too.
Well, I find that like you also can sort of, if you're in a band or something, you can kind of rely on, you can kind of step back a little bit. It doesn't always have to be about you.
Yeah.
And you're like, if you're not really on top of the song, you can be like, no, I'm just going to, you know, fake it a little bit. You can't really fake it in comedy.
Yeah, right, no.
But, you know, but being a, I think being a musician is still, you know, categorically cooler, isn't it?
It's totally the coolest.
Well, I don't know. Comedy is becoming a new thing. Comedy is like the new stage for philosophy. It is the, it is kind of the new coolest thing.
Well, it's back. Like, you know, people are saying things with comedy again. Yeah. And a lot of people are into it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what about you? No music? No playing?
What I was wish. My dad was in a band.
Really?
When I was growing up, he plays the drums.
Really?
And he taught himself how to, or not taught himself, but later in life started taking piano lessons so he can play.
He was
piano.
In a band when you were growing up. What was that band?
It's so good. It was called Second Chance.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And it was his high school band, Reunited.
He married his high school sweetheart and then reunited with his.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was called Second Chance. And they would play, like, I remember they played like on the art museum steps in Philly.
Uh-huh.
And they would play bars.
Day out on the steps kind of thing, like a little festival thing.
Yeah.
And here's some local guys.
Uh-huh. And they had a tape.
Uh-huh.
Like with like the whole picture on the front. So I always had drums in the basement of my house.
Yeah.
And so I like always was into drums too. So when Alana, when we did this show, I like can't real, like she's always counting.
Uh-huh.
Whenever we do it, she's like, and one, two, three. And I'm like, I can't do that. But I can like kind of hold beats.
Uh-huh.
But I would love to be able to play the drums actually. I can just kind of play like a couple beats and I'm kind of like off.
Like,
right? Like,
yeah, it's so weird. It's like, music, comedy, all this stuff, everything seems so much more like available or something these days.
Yeah.
Like I was just talking to my friend who's a DJ, talking about music,
cool.
music. And then I'm
DJ
like,
friend.
Yeah.
Music. And then I'm like, do you know what time signatures are? No. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, just like what Abby's saying with like counting too. It's like, I don't know. You can be fully immersed in music, love music. Music is your life, and you don't know how to count it.
Oh, sure.
And like,
you don't know how to read music. Or, yeah.
Yeah. And like comedy, too. It's like, that's so available and information. Like, even just presenting like you know something is so available. It's
the weird thing about music, and I've talked about this before, is that even if it feels familiar or what, there's an effect to it that you can repeat again and again. Like, you know, you can't really repeat a joke again and again.
Right.
But if you've got a song, there's a magic to it where people are like, God, I hope they play that song.
Yeah,
no one's like,
they want to like
And yeah, it has a feeling thing, you know, and you can always go back to it. Like,
people aren't like, man, I want to hear him do that finale joke. Like,
Maybe for one or two times.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But by the third time, like, you're like, nah.
Right, yeah.
It loses its magic.
It's like that intonation isn't the same as melody.
Right.
For some reason.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Right. And also, like, for
melody, it clicks in and you're like, yeah.
Right.
Intonation, you're like, all right.
That's sort of like, I'm not like a big lyric guy. Like, I'm always looking for the turn in the music, you know, like if there's a hook to the music, if the melody has a sort of like, oh, like there's a chord progression, then I'm like, I love that.
Yeah, gotcha.
Well, what's the guy saying? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
He sounds good too, but it's all just musical to me. Mm-hmm. So you graduate high school and you're in Pennsylvania. And when did you decide, like, what was the first decision? Like, what were you going to do? How'd you end up?
I kind of went around. So my brother works with my dad and my mom. Like,
your dad's a graphic designer?
Yeah, he's like an environmental graphic designer.
What does that mean?
So it's like, like he goes into spaces like a hospital, for yeah. instance, and like no one, everyone's getting like fucking lost in the hospital.
Yeah.
And so now he does a lot of wayfinding. So it's like how you, someone walks in the hospital and they like have to read all the signs.
Right.
And so.
And they're bleeding.
And they're bleeding. Right, or like, right, right. you know, if you walk in and like someone is in the, you, how people get around spaces and then the signage.
Yeah.
And so also designing of the signage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. But then they also do like restaurant.
Like it's very specific. Design. It's an interesting niche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so everyone in my family was artists. So my uh-huh. mom is kind was growing up was a potter. She had like a wheel.
Oh, she did? So your mom was there getting frustrated at clay winging off a wheel?
She would like, do fuck. She would do craft you're shows.
Building that thing up and like yeah. you'd yeah. watch
and
it.
Then
it
just actually she had a wheel for a very brief time because she didn't she ended up just doing it like
by
very,
hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
that was the fuck the wheel day.
Uh-huh.
But she, no hacking
yeah, she
on that
swapped
day
the
either.
Wheel for like a kiln. Yeah, exactly. It was like
no hack
nah.
segment. No, yeah.
It was announced over the loudspeaker. Yeah. Mom is getting rid of the wheel.
Did you have a kiln?
She did for a while.
Oh
and then,
my God, those are energy eaters. That's
yeah,
like you
Jesus.
Know.
It was it, but that was it very installed? Brief too, and then
or was it standalone? I guess
it was not a big thing. It oh. was like a small thing,
uh-huh.
and then she we got like I think she sold it, and then she ended up going to this place, Wayne Art Center, that mm-hmm. she could just do it there. I was uh-huh. like, why are we doing this?
Yeah,
and but she would do craft shows on the weekends. So uh-huh. my family was like very, it was like all art. It was all visual art. Like I was always like drawing, and so my brother. Went to art school in Philly.
Uh-huh.
And then so when I was going to go to college, I was like obsessed with SNL and I did kind of perform mm-hmm. in high school, but I couldn't sing, so I couldn't do any of the plays.
So what did you kind of perform? Did people know you were performing?
Yeah, I literally, my main thing was I would impersonate this Mike Myers doing Coffee Talk. Like that was my thing. I would just like do that.
Sure. And it's guaranteed laugher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
in.
I would do my own thing.
Yeah.
But people knew I was into comedy, but that didn't ever seem like a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't grow up with anyone. Like, maybe even because you're in New York, that was, like, maybe a thing you could do.
Right. Didn't think,
it's
you know.
Interesting never when seen you enter a stand-up. The industry like, when you're like, oh, a lot of people's parents did whatever. Just mm-hmm. that thing of,
yeah.
Like, do you have an in or do you not have an in? Do you have an in even mentally?
Yeah, just like, I was right. at you. Oh, that's right. a yeah. do possible this as a job. Thing.
Were you encouraged? In a way. I know what you're saying.
Just there. Like, do you think that this could be a job?
Right. It's. I think it's more which, people think they can now.
Right. Yes. Yes.
I don't think yes. when I started that, it was still sort of like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Yeah. And your parents were sort of like concerned because when you're like, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian, they're just sort of a life of disappointment and failure.
Yes.
Can't you find something that we can at least not worry about? But now, because of places like UCB and stuff, there's an industry... You know, preceding the industry.
Yes.
Like there's a yes, path.
Yeah, like a school.
A path.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like YouTube too. I mean, even 10 years ago when we were starting, it's different than now. Mm-hmm. Vine stars. You
I
know what I mean?
I look at them occasionally when someone goes, what? I don't know. Okay, what? And it's not even a generational thing. I mean,
no, I mean, we're, you know, whatever. We're all different ages here. And it's like, we are like, Jesus.
Yeah, like there
it,
was
it comes
not,
up quick, man. It comes up
it
quick.
It was very fast,
but,
the transition.
But yeah, I mean the transition of technology and access. But the weird thing is, and like you guys probably know and kind of maybe feel it in a less resentful way than I do, but there is there are people that kind of have that attention and viral traction that really don't have the goods to follow through
totally.
Into something. And like it seems to me that you guys have that persistence and the talent and the creativity to do that. But there's a lot of people that, like a Vine star, it's like, all right, so who are they and where are they now? Oh, they're still on Vine and they got...
Totally. And like that's like a cool thing about like the world, I guess,
yeah.
that quality and focus...
Still means something.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And sincerity and...
But also being able to do the fucking job when it's a job. You know, getting viral traction is like, I mean, unless you're a YouTube personality, which, you know, I have my own opinion of, but I can't really, I'm not negative about it because they seem to, the very nature of their popularity is usually because they're not fundamentally talented. They seem like, you know, people like that kids are like, no, they're just like us, you know.
Totally, totally.
But how did you, we should get to that through how you guys started. So you're dicking around, you're drawing things and doing
so
Mike
I
Myers.
Went to, yeah, that's it. I was just dicking around.
Abby dicking around.
No, but I went. So I funny. Didn't go to comedy. I went to art school.
Right.
because I was like, I'm good at this. This is like immediate.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I going to fucking be an actor? Like, I don't know anyone that has ever done that.
Right. So it wasn't like,
I know everyone around me that does art. Like my family is. So I was like,
and that's not an easy career either, though.
No, that is possibly more impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
So I went to school in Baltimore, this school called MICA, Maryland Institute College of Art. And I, like, most of my work is drawing and painting. But then they were starting their video department.
Oh, shit.
And they were starting. And
shit.
So,
and I was like, oh,
that
shit.
That dick found a pussy, you know? That dick found its pussy. Even if it's a boy pussy, putting it out there.
Yeah, sure.
So I started doing videos. But it was so funny. Like, my video work at MICA was just me doing characters.
Mm-hmm. Also, what year did you graduate?
2006.
It's like YouTube was invented in 2005. So,
didn't even know it. Like, I didn't do it anything on YouTube. But I just did these characters, and they would be projected on gallery walls, like next to paintings, and it was very serious.
Oh, really?
And it was like,
because that's a conceptual art.
I was like a performance artist.
Right.
And then I was like,
what were the characters?
I thought they were really funny, and a lot of them were improvised, and I edited them, and I saw, like, one was like really emotional. I saw someone getting mugged. Mm-hmm. Baltimore was extremely dangerous.
Rough, yeah.
And I saw someone.
I watched The Wire.
I'm not even kidding. Like, I lived in a neighborhood, a really nice neighborhood, but it was next to like the worst neighborhood, and there's no one out in Baltimore. So it was like very, I would like sprint home from class. I saw someone getting mugged outside my apartment, heard it, look outside the window, and like this woman was getting like dragged by her messenger bag. And I was like the one calling the cops. And I look and there's like all these other people looking out their window. It was like so fucked up. So like one of the characters was, I shot a character like immediately after, and it was like very intense. I'd have to watch it again.
But were you the one calling the cops, or were you the one getting,
I called the cops because I was like, if I don't call, I'm going to think. No, it was just sort of like using that emotion.
Uh-huh.
And so my junior year, I sort of realized, I was like, I want to be a fucking actor. What am I doing?
Uh-huh.
And so I moved to New York to go to the Atlantic Theater Conservatory.
Mammoth's place? Mammoth and Macy?
Uh-huh. And so I went.
You learned how to talk directly?
I went for a week. And I hated it. I was like, what am I fucking doing? I had a breakdown. There's a subway station that every time
it's
I go past it,
it's a weird system,
like,
that system, right?
It was so stifling. I like couldn't react. It was like, well, what are they really saying? Like, analyze every word. And that was so not, that's just so not how I work.
It just gutted all the emotion out of it.
I was like, I can't even talk.
What about that
place.
Subway stop though?
So I had this breakdown on 15th and 8th Avenue where I was like, I'm quitting. Uh-huh. I got to quit. I called my dad and I was like, I'm quitting this thing I moved here for. Like, I had to quit or I would lose my deposit. And my roommate at the time, who is like my roommate on our show.
The fat guy?
That you never know, the girl who never sees.
Oh, you never.
She was like, I think you should check out this place, Upper Citizens Brigade. Like, your video work really feels like that. And I had never heard of it.
Right.
I was so like
SNL. 2006?
Yeah. And I just didn't know, like, the
old
comedy
scene. Was that the old one?
Scene.
The one that was on 20, the one with the weird sort of seats?
No, it was
the
new
basement?
One.
Oh, yeah?
I think it was pretty new.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
And I went by myself and just, like, went, I don't even know what show I saw, and I was like, this is it.
Right.
Like, this is it. And I quit, and then I just started there, and that got a dumb day
thank
job.
Thank God for
and
that fucking like, roommate. You were like, if it wasn't for that girl.
I wrote her an email, and I was like, thank you for.
Where's she at? She's at
we
the Atlantic.
It didn't end great with us.
Oh, but that tidbit of information.
She changed, like, I honestly don't think about, none of my friends are in comedy. I mean, all my friends are in comedy now, but no one.
What would have happened if you didn't get that tidbit of information? You would have, like, went home crying and just sort of, like, gotten a job, probably your dad's office or something for a while?
Well, I'm an illustrator, too, so I think maybe I would have done that.
Uh-huh.
And still tried to, I was trying to be an actor still, but it was such a direct correlation between me being so, like, fuck this, because I wanted to be a dramatic actor. I went to, like, Mammoth.
Right.
And I was like, fuck, what am I doing? And that was such a clear, like, turn. Like,
yeah.
Like, I took a total different turn.
Because comedy's a portal into all of that. Because, like, in any given sketch or scene, you can be the dramatic one.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go now to your journey to New York. What happened? So you're a drummer. You got a cool brother. You're writing sketches. You're doing musical stuff. Your version of dicking around. And what was the white light moment?
Elliot goes to NYU, and I'm like, okay, I'll go there too.
Right.
And it's like exactly. Not for acting, just like to like go and be in the city. And he's like, Elliot shows me Stella. You remember when they were making videos and shit? And
Stella over when it was down in the basement at the Time Cafe.
Yeah. But for me, that's who I was going into the city to see was Stella, for example. Mm-hmm. Like when I could get into their shows.
That was a big room in the basement, and they had Blue playing the music, and then they'd have the comics on.
And I more just saw them like, whatever, just like.
Did you grow up with the state, or was that after you? I mean,
no, I did, but I didn't. I was
really young,
a little young for it, but whatever. Yeah. I like liked it. You know, I watched it later.
All right,
but
so you're going Stella
into Stella videos was to me. I was like, that was like, oh, it's not just. SNL.
Yeah.
And then Elliot was like, there's this theater, Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah.
We should take classes when you're here, when you're in the city.
And what year is that?
2000. Early 2000s, post 9/11 though.
Yeah.
Like 2003 or something.
And you're like what, 19?
In 2003, I'm like 16 if I can do math. And then I'm like, okay, in 2 years, I'll like graduate and I'll come to the city and we'll do that. But like to my parents, I'm like, I'm going to be a psychologist. You know what I mean? So like I...
That was the goal.
Which
that
like...
It. That worked for
in
a while.
College, between comedy, my own therapy,
and
nervous breakdowns and psych classes, it was like a truly a cohesive education. It like all was...
Right.
You know, it was like...
Real nervous breakdowns or just panic attacks? I mean, her breakdown was like a career shifting, like, you know, dream breaking business.
Like anxiety, depression.
Yeah.
Like little mania, like, you know.
Standard stuff.
Yeah, standard Jew shit.
Yeah, standard Jew shit.
So I was like, just college was like my job and comedy
Where'd
was
Where'd you
like,
go to college? NYU.
Yeah.
So you were there, you went the whole run?
Yeah.
You got to finish.
I had to get a degree and like my parents...
Yeah.
I don't know. They just like they wanted that and I like gave that to them and they like got me to the city. So I was like using it like fulfilling their thing and fulfilling my thing.
Right.
And so I started taking classes in college.
With your brother.
Yeah. With my brother, but also like we were doing we produced shows together
at UCB?
Yeah. We had this one show that was awesome, high school talent show.
Uh-huh.
And it was so just good. Sketches and people, it was just like a variety show. People would come and do their sketches.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we also were like finding our own voices and I like did some stand up and we were just running around the city, you know, that particular time when you're seeing shows every night, doing shows every night. It was so fun. It was my college.
And that had, by that time, you know, comedy had detached itself entirely from mainstream comedy clubs. So, like, that was the alternative scene in New York. Like, there was still the Cellar and stand-up, but that was not the world.
It was like Rafifi.
Right.
With
Eugene and...
Yeah.
And Tisdale. And,
yeah, exactly.
You were never going... I never went to those big comedy clubs.
No, of course. Yeah, I know. I know. There's a whole generation that it took me a long time to accept it, but, you know, what
comics
am I going to
say? Comics was a weird thing, though.
Oh, yeah. I saw you at Comics.
Well, they were trying to do a high...
You did? And at Ochi's, too.
Was it a good night thing? For me at Comics? Like, sometimes I remember... That could go either way. But they were integrating alternative acts into the shows at Comics, trying to make
like,
that thing
work. We got into comedy when, like...
I like you that you didn't answer whether I was good enough, but that's
okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you were really good. You blew me away.
Really
you were
past that.
Really fucking honest, but you had just gotten divorced.
So, yeah, it was a good
so
time.
I was like, holy shit. Comedy is honesty
Real.
And tragedy, and it was amazing.
Oh, good.
But
I'm glad to help.
But it wasn't like... It was like, whoa. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was.
I don't get a lot of the... that's something I rarely hear.
It was amazing.
Thank you. But we
got into comedy when it started being like alt and awkward.
Weirdly, we started at the exact
awkward.
Same time, but not
knowing each other.
Yeah, right. We started like the fall of 2006.
Doing stand up? Are you talking or just
taking
working?
Classes?
Oh. So you
and
didn't...
then performing like forming teams and like.
Uh huh.
Alana did more stand up, and I would do like stand up like kind of as a version of me,
like contextualized stand up, almost like your videos.
Oh, yes. So you did a character, kind of.
In a
it
way,
was like
yeah.
Me,
yeah, yeah.
But like
right.
a version, yeah.
You needed the character.
A little bit.
Yeah. So what are, because you know, I've talked to a few people, I mean, I've had Poehler in here and Besser and some of the original UCB people, and I've had people who went through the UCB program and through the Groundlings program, but like UCB now is like the training ground for you know, comedy in a lot of ways. So what, you know, what is the environment there? Because I miss it. I go do stand-up shows sometimes, but I don't have a sense of, and I know I've talked about this with people, but I don't remember. So tell me again, what is it that you, because you sign up for classes and it's primarily improv, right? And then you just stay sketch. There until you meet people. It's sketch.
Oh, you can take sketch too.
Yeah. Writing but and mostly, acting. Yeah.
And the main track is like take the classes 101 through 401.
It's a little different now, but
401. And then you like audition until you get on a Harold or a Maude team.
Right.
And then you, there's this like track. It's like a mini college.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have to say, like, it has grown exponentially since we started too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't really know the temperature there, but like, it's like a school. It's like walking into a like small college. Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
I feel like it's probably similar to when you were doing stand up and you meet this community. It's almost like you're paying to meet a community.
Well, the weird thing about
involved in this community, rather than you're doing stand up and you're just meeting them from going to shows. This was like you're like going every week to train, but you are training and you're learning these like principles, but also you have a theater that's like your feels like a home base for you.
Right.
You can go every night and then you can go to other offshoot shows.
Right.
And it was like, it was, thank God, I like didn't know anyone in New York, and all of a sudden you have this
the whole world.
Yeah.
Well, the difference is it's collaboration with stand-ups. Yeah, we have a community, but we're all
everyone's
sort of like well, yeah, we're kind of rogues,
bidding each other. Bits,
yeah,
doing bits,
busting
until
balls,
somebody wins,
and yeah. Well, yeah, not even wins, but you sort of like, you know, that's what that guy's doing. I get it. I'm not into it, but there was never a sense of like, hey, you know, we should all get together. And, you know, and put a thing together.
The thing I like about stand-up, though, is like, because improvisers do bits, too. But I like in stand-up when you're just, like, leaning against the wall.
Yeah.
And you're, like, in the shadows and somebody's performing. And then you, like, talk about, like, the darkest shit as succinctly as possible of what's going on. That I like. That is, like, very real about stand-up.
We're very good at leveling everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a cynicism to it. But after years of talking to people in here, you know, I've grown to really appreciate and surrender some of my old guy, you know, stand up warrior bullshit about dues and how comedy really works. Because, you know, having done a TV show and actually having the opportunity to collaborate and on a radio show, too, like I love it. But I would never have thought to do it as a stand up. You know what I mean? It's just sort of there's an isolation to stand up. And so I you know, I think it's amazing that, you know, when you go to some place like UCB and you do all these things, you're learning how to write, direct, produce, perform innately because you all are sort of like, well, I got an idea. Let's execute the idea. You know, will you do this? Will you do that? So it's an amazing
thing. It's interesting,
thing.
Too. It's like you want to be – it is amazing, but also creating that space is amazing. Like what you've done with your podcast.
Yeah.
Like you've created this space and brought like the podcast to like a new – level where like Poehler, I mean the original UCB 4, like I'll never know what literally building that alt community in New York feels like. They brought that like Chicago thing to New York. They created like some alternative to SNL. There's like one thing to be like in the channel and to like really appreciate the path someone's like carved, but then also you kind of have to, and then honestly like us with the web series,
the original 4, I like that.
Yeah.
Is that how they're referred to?
The UCB 4.
But the interesting thing about them is like when they came around at first, they were just a group, you know, and then they started doing things on their own. And then they opened the first theater. And I don't know what their intention was in terms of building an empire, but they built their own space. And then I think the school came later, but they needed a place to work. And then the attention came to the original 4, and then it became a showcase for people. And then it just blew up. But they were just, you know, like you. They were just sort of like, we're in the city.
Weirdly,
we were like, it was so inspiring to us. So we started doing Broad City, the web series, because we could not get on these Harold teams or Maude teams. Like, we could not.
Improvisation
was
not your thing?
We were like 3-4 years
in. Yeah.
We were like doing, we thought we were doing really, we had been on an improv team for 2 years with like a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Performing at like under St. Mark's and different theaters.
Yeah.
And could not get, we were like, fuck, this is like the way.
Yeah.
We can't get on.
You couldn't get on the Harold team?
No. or Mod, which is the sketch team. Yeah. Like, we were just like, fuck, what are... And
really,
we're struggling
with,
like, commercials.
Really, you guys were not making the cut.
No.
Correct.
And so, actually, inspired in... Because we couldn't get on, we created the thing. Because we were like, you know what? Fuck this. We're funny. We're going to do this. But also, that's what they did.
I love that you're driven by spite.
It was like
spite,
it was like
spite.
Yeah. No, but also spite. It was also inspired by them because, and also it wasn't the UCB4 being like you can't get on the team. It was like other people.
No, of course.
They're
far
they
removed
were looking
from that.
For their own spot too, and that's why they created their thing. Right. So we were like,
let's just do it.
We're just gonna do our thing. Like our friendship on this team and just hanging out. We were like, there's something here. We are just this banter is funny.
Yeah.
And just started making these videos
because we were gonna like. You know, do characters, or we just wanted to like make something, you know, that wasn't going to just disappear after the moment you fucking say it.
Yeah.
But then that turn of being like, imagine if it was about us.
We were like,
which is like,
well, that's very sort of like, you know, first person, experiential, honest, you know, the things that you're talking about that you gravitated towards.
Right.
So how'd you shoot the web series? Who had the camera?
There was this thing, it might still exist, called the Improv Resource Center.
Oh, really?
Which was like an old like beta site.
Yeah, like
that
this
black with the green.
Uh-huh.
And it was, forum. You could post if you, I'm doing a short film I'm casting or I'm looking for an improv coach.
So it was a board.
It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly UCB kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we found this, like there's like video services.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's this, our friend Rob is like looking to do this. So
yeah.
Rob, for the first season, directed like most of the episodes. Of the web series.
How long were they?
I think 10 of 18.
So there were 18 total?
Maybe he did 10 of 18.
There were 18 total in the web series.
In the first
season. How long were the bits?
3 to 5 minutes.
So they were sketch. They were singular sketches. Really.
It was like ideas that we, like this, I have the notebook that when we first met, we were, and like, I remember that one of our first thoughts was like, when we were meeting, we just wanted to get bacon, egg, and cheeses.
Yeah.
Best meal.
And
that's
they
our
wouldn't
death meal.
Make them after 11. Like, we couldn't find
the
a
sandwich?
Place. Eggs.
Eggs.
Just bacon,
we
egg,
couldn't
and cheese.
Find
in a New York City
eggs.
Deli. I mean, they still have these stupid rules as though it's like liquor after noon.
Breakfast
on
ends
Sundays.
At 11?
Yeah.
And so
except
that,
on
it
weekends.
Was just.
And we were like,
what?
That.
Eggs. All the eggs explode after on at 11:01.
Like, just fuck conversations.
You. Make
like
me fucking eggs.
Right.
And we're like, we'll do like every. Sketch will be a
and we started like writing shit down and like we didn't realize that we were creating a world
right
but then later after 2 years of making 35 videos it was like shit like we're these are all slices of a world of a larger
and where
show.
Did some of the themes of the Comedy Central show sort of start to happen like you know Bed Bath and Beyond Oprah Winfrey, you know, your sort of control freakness, your sort of like, you know, like adventurousness and somewhat inspired, what would you call it? Stonerness.
I mean, all based on...
I just like it. I just like what you're saying. I dig what you're laying down, man.
Yeah. All those things are based on like some sort of seed of one of us.
Right.
My mom worked at Bed Bath & Beyond when I was a kid.
No.
And so like... She was friends with all the workers there. But like, I didn't have handshakes with them, but was like...
But you knew the world.
But my roommate, my other roommate threw... My mom would send me these coupons.
Right.
So I had an envelope of like 50 Bed Bath & Beyond coupons because I like couldn't afford to buy shit. But I was like, when I can, I will go and buy all the shit I want. And I came home from work one day and he was like, so I like got rid of your coupons. They all expired. And I was like, they don't expire. They don't fucking expire. And so like we had this Google Doc from when we had made the web series that was like this elaborate spreadsheet of like conversations, moments, anything that we had thought was funny, we would add in this Google Doc that we shared. And so
if you're out in your world doing other things,
you
just kind of post it on, then you'd sit and go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, what can't you let go of? What like keeps cracking you up?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And so who can we give that? So my roommate's boyfriend on the show, of course, is going to throw away the envelope of coupons because he doesn't know the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And like also stuff. Hannibal had been in the web series and we kind of pitched the show with him in mind, with Gemberling in mind, just all the and then like
he's the roommate.
Yeah.
And then all those. John Gemberling plays Bevers. But like, you know, these like cells of a spreadsheet started connecting to characters and the world started coming together. Also like even just like talking to Amy about it, I remember this conversation.
When did that start to happen?
Amy was in our finale web series of the web series where we were trying to get.
But when did you get, like, I know you were at the school and you were having, you know, issues integrating into these groups. But when did Amy Poehler say, like, you know, reckon with you? When did she be like, what are you guys up to? How did that happen?
Didn't.
We just asked her to be in the finale of the web series.
We just like got in touch with her.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, she's never going to say yes to being in it. Like, she's not going to be in our...
How did you get in touch? I mean, what did you say? Like, we had
generationally, our teacher had been her student. And our teacher, we asked him to... a teacher of ours, an English teacher.
Who? Which one?
Will Hines.
Uh-huh.
And he was going to direct a webisode and like pulled out last minute. And we took our shit so fucking seriously.
Yeah.
And we were so upset. And he was like... he was like, oof, I fucking owe you one. And then when it came to it, we were like, hey, dog, remember that ting?
Yeah.
So do you think she'd ever be into it? You know, we were gentle about it.
We had written a pilot. We were like, we're going to go out and pitch this as a show.
Right. Broad City.
This was like spring of 2011.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were like, we wrote a pilot. We're going to end the web series. We're going to end it with like a bang.
Right.
And that's when we reached out to Amy just to be in the finale of the web series. And then we were going to go that summer out here, try and pitch it.
Right.
But then when we met her, it was like, it clicked so hard. We had this huge body of work. We had the pilot ready. She asked about, you guys ever think about this for TV?
So you weren't even on her radar really until you asked her
to be on
it.
When she said yes to be in the web series, she was like, I would love to. I've seen it. I would love to. And we died.
Uh-huh.
We were like, this is fucking crazy. We never met her. We like just saw her at,
Where did you learn that? I guess you learned that. Do you learn that at UCB that you can write a pilot and go try and sell it in Los Angeles? Where did you get that information?
We had a manager who was...
Oh, who was that?
Her name was Sam Safer.
Uh-huh.
She was extremely good at...
Oh, yeah? Getting you guys...
Motivating
this is what you gotta
to
do
shit, yeah.
Encouraging and, like, crystallizing. And
still with
her? No.
Hmm. So what... So Amy, like, did the last episode, and then she was like, what are we doing?
You know Amy.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So, you know, she's like... You guys have a, you guys think about this for TV? And we're like, we're thinking about it, we wrote a pilot. And you know that little like, that little lip thing?
Uh-huh.
So she's like thinking about it, stewing on it.
And then we like met up after and we had done the, like edited the episode so fast because we used to have these parties to premiere, like just premiere parties.
Two of them. I mean, we had like out of wherever like, the agency to be like, that was a season, we say, you know, and now this is a season we're telling you. So we like made these parties where we have Sarah Schaefer, Hannibal, John Friedman, who were in
Kristen Schaal.
They were in this season. So come do stand up. We'll show, you know, whatever.
The web series. Yeah.
Kristen Schaal was in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for that finale, we were like, we sent Amy the video and we were like, that her webisode. And we were like, it, people went nuts. Everybody fucking loved it.
Uh-huh.
And if we're like planning on selling this, we have a pilot. If you're, if you would ever be available and interested in being attached to produce it, we would love to work with you. And we were like,
again, no way, but we have to ask.
So she was doing Parks, The Mighty Bee. She had just had her second kid.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't think that she was going to do it at all.
And
but
then
she
was like, I would love to.
I mean,
set a meeting. And we
did.
Were like, what the fuck?
I mean, I
called Alana and she was like, up. She was like, you were in the middle of nowhere. Alana, we had worked at the same job this whole year
that Alana on the show works at.
Uh-huh.
It was like a Groupon kind of company.
Uh-huh.
And Alana quit her job. No, you quit it when Amy was going to be in the web
series.
Right.
I there was something I like knew. I mean, I gave them 6 weeks notice. I was really scared and I wanted to save my money. But I told you I'm a good girl.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But I was like, I knew... I knew it was cumulative, you know?
That it's this interesting. It's a weird, that moment where you're like, I'm going to be in show business for reals.
Yeah.
It's a weird moment. Because like you're taught, even if you have supportive and good parents, you know, they instill this basic sort of need for security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were still like, what are you doing?
Right. Right. Who's Amy Poehler?
Yeah. They were like, this is exciting, but like, are you making money on this?
Even like, still, even still, it's like, could have still had that job during.
Sure, they never let it go. They just because they're not. If you're not Seinfeld,
Right.
They don't get it.
Yeah, yeah.
No one knows. I talk to my friends. They don't watch. It's not for them.
Right.
Yeah.
But like our parents actually got on board like during the web series because it was just like
we were also good. Working. We had like jobs during the web series.
But it was
too,
just like good and there was something palpably building there.
Yeah.
And then with Amy, then they like flipped and like got it.
Yeah. And then so we came out here. Thank God. That when we had planned to, but now Amy was like in the room with us. It was a very different thing.
With the pilot. The pitch. And mm-hmm. But when you did that, those parties or those showcases or the, you know, for the web series, was that primarily an industry type of showcase or just a party? No.
It was just all friends. Our friends.
But did the industry come?
No.
Nobody.
No.
So there was no
so
buzz on
it.
It's
not like in LA.
We tried,
like any,
though.
No, they come. They
for
come.
For the web series, they'll we come. Had like list. Remember my phone? You know how I have everyone's phone numbers?
Yeah.
So when we were doing the web series, we tried to like reach out to people.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was a casting director for like the Food Network. And she was like, I have this list.
Yeah.
And so on my phone now, I have like everyone.
Uh-huh.
Because I downloaded it and I, like everyone's phone number. Yeah. In Hollywood.
I like work with Becky now, Dave Becky, but like Abby had his number like 25 years
but
ago.
But I didn't know
for some
who
reason
he was.
She like downloaded and, like, at least fucking contacts.
So we tried to invite
we were
like
press. Dave Becky's number.
From years ago.
Yeah.
You've been with him a few years?
No, we're not with him.
Oh.
We're just,
but he
we just know him because
on Broad City.
Because you're a free arts person.
No.
We don't have a manager. No, like he's just produces because of Amy.
That's what Becky's job is now. He gets his name on things.
Yes. He has like one of those fucking like the thing that you brand a cat with.
It's like,
Becky has that and he puts it like on the card.
But
you've
hung out with him? He's an excitable guy.
Yeah.
He gets like, you guys, hey, what music you like?
Yeah. I know.
How's my hair?
I see Thomas Hayden Church. When I think of him.
Oh, really?
He's a little more
amped up than Thomas Hayden.
Yeah.
You know, Becky's like an excitable puppy sometimes.
Yeah, it's cool to like not work with him because it's just like, I love you, dude.
Yeah,
you can like him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny though. I can't picture him in New York. He's such a like Cali dude.
You know, these guys, like their job, like it took me a long time to understand how show business works, you know, and you know that it's a business. And, you know, and he was like pretty slick then. I mean, he's loosened up now. Like he was always into music. That was always the thing. He was really good friends with a friend of mine who was a music manager. And it almost seemed like that was what he was more interested in personally. But he never got involved with it so he could still enjoy it.
He has the look. He looks like he should be in music.
He loves music.
Yeah, he's very rock and roll.
He's a real power pop guy. But yeah, he looks slick. He had shorter hair. You know, he used to coif it back.
Oh my
he wore
goodness.
Like back before he earned the right to be casual at all times.
Yeah.
He had the suits. He had everything.
Wow.
Man. Oh yeah, Becky was pretty slick.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. And then he relaxed back to the state he always wanted to be in.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
All right. So, season three starts this Wednesday.
Yes.
10 episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And. You've been given the opportunity to work. Like I look at the guest stars, like I know a lot of these people. Seth Morris, I love Seth Morris.
He's so
Sedaris is great, Drach great, Matt Jones is great, Janine's great. I'm just gonna read the list. Armisen's great. But Bob Balaban.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. I mean, to me, like it's like I want to just meet that guy.
Well, Susie Essman and Bob Balaban are
Well, Susie's great. I've known her a million
Susie,
years.
Susie Alana's mom is I think she
Perfect.
Win some sort of a. She should win.
She should win awards all the time.
But the
Susie
fact
Essman.
That it's. I don't think there's ever been a better pairing of mother daughter.
And we thought about it for years.
It's insane.
Before. We thought about
they
it
are,
since the web series.
It's crazy.
Uh-huh. That was crazy that materialized because we thought about her for years.
Because you watched her on Curb or you saw her
do stand-up?
Yeah,
and I'm just like, this
they just
bitch is
look
me.
Alike. It's just bizarre.
We're just like so alike.
Did you ever go see her do stand up?
Yeah, she's fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
She is hysterical. And she's now like, so she's like, over it. Over stand up. I'm please.
She does it still.
You're taking a break. Yeah. But she's like over it, but I think she'll.
Well, she's one of those people that had been around forever on the New York comedy scene. And it was like when you're my generation, which I think I'm a little younger than her, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like when you see people at that point in their career get a break like Curb, or all of a sudden, you know, the world gets to meet them, you're like, oh, that's so fucking great.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know? But what was it? How's Bob? Was he fun? Or he's like,
he's great. He's like, gentle and
so funny.
And very much just like, you know, that person that you see. He's like funny and interesting. He's very interesting, like knows a lot of shit, like wants to talk about a lot of stuff. He's like great on a set. He's a great actor. He's like one of those people who
he's in fucking Midnight Cowboy, man.
Because like our
you know that he was the guy that blows John Voight in the bathroom in the theater.
No.
Yeah.
holy shit, I gotta watch that.
Oh my God, are you kidding? Yeah, I saw that so long ago.
The guy who didn't have any money.
Oh.
And he's like, are you gonna hurt me?
My God.
Oh, that's Bob Ballard.
I gotta watch that again. That's so funny.
No, for someone who's been in everything, you know, our show.
Wow.
Is not like big, we don't have like a big production. It's like, Bob's not, they don't, no one gets a trip. There's like no trailers. Yeah, there's nothing.
They work for scale.
And they're like hanging with us while we're like resetting up, like.
But they like to work and they like to be part of something fun.
And it just
fun.
Makes me like, oh, like they're, you get to see people, like someone like that. He's been in fucking everything and he can just, he's fine with that, chilling with us.
But that's the amazing thing about, you know, having the opportunity to do your own show. Like, because I didn't know that either. And I've talked, before I did my show, I talked to a lot of people in here, a lot of actors and stuff. But when you're actually casting, there's that moment where you're like, that guy would do it?
Yeah. Right.
And yeah, of course, well, they're actors. They're, you know,
it's crazy
they're
though.
They hold a different place in our mind because we see them in movies. Right. But ultimately, depending where they are with their career or what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, they're like, I'd like to work.
Right.
And this seems funny.
Yeah.
And they seem fun. And they're just, that's their job.
I know. It's just.
It's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
Because when we're casting, I'm like, I love that guy from all those movies. We can just have him come in and read for this?
Yeah.
Or just cast him? They're like, yeah, he'll work. And I'm like, what? Because they're like superheroes to you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's wild.
And they're like suddenly your plaything.
Yeah.
And willing to do what you say.
Oh, yeah. And you can see their genius and they bring to it everything that you want usually. Oh, it's crazy. I do want to say one thing or maybe a couple things. Because when I first watched part of the show when it first came out, I was like, I'm not sure I get this. And they're great, but I'm not sure I get it. And then as I watch more, the thing that, you know, it's one of those your shows, you do have to get the hang of it. Mm-hmm. Like there's a groove to it that's specifically yours, and it is a little generational for me, but it's comedy. So like I had this problem with the Arrested Development too. If you don't lock in and sort of like it's like playing a record a few times. Mm-hmm. Like once you get to the middle of the first season, you're like, I get the groove. But like
I think especially with the pilot into the first season.
Right. Well, you also like as comedic performers and as something I experience and I watch other comedic performers, you're not going to get comfortable. You're just going to have to take the hit for a few episodes. Yeah. I mean, you know, in your mind, like this is going great, but it's going to get better.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do to make that happen any faster other than get comfortable. And the more you get comfortable, you're like, no, then you're like, it's golden. But the one thing that I thought was amazing is that there's a lot of stuff about New York City. And it's really a celebration of New York City as you guys live in it now. And there's a lot of stuff that I remember from when I was living there. And there's very specific things that somehow or another, you know, you've managed to make new again, which is a great testament to the talent of you guys that I'm sitting there like, you know, watching that Washington Square drug bit. And I'm like, I know where this is going. And I'm like, oh, I didn't go where I thought it was. I thought you were going to get burned. That I just immediately thought, like, she's buying drugs in Washington Square. We've all done that. And you get home and you're like, this isn't pot. But then it like, right? Then it goes to
I didn't even know where you thought it was going to go.
I thought you were just going to like get some bad weed and smoke it anyways. And it was like a spice. You know, or just garbage.
Gotcha.
And right, where it was just like a confusion.
Like my thought was like, she's going to insist on smoking it anyways and then try to figure out whether you guys are high or not. And you just sit there and go, nope. But that didn't happen. But I just wrote a sketch. But
that's so funny.
But then when he thought you were selling hip, that was a funny turn. And there's a lot of that stuff in there where I didn't know exactly how it was going to go. And a lot of that comes from, you know, using such funny actors too.
It's so cool to hear you say that, what you just said about the show, because you're such a prolific comedian. So you watching it and not expecting what is about to happen is like, oh,
yeah,
geez,
yeah, totally.
God,
because I was also
because
like,
it's like that's the worst you can watch. And like, I know exactly what's gonna fuck. I know well, what they're gonna do, weird. And like, I love that it's like, ah, oh, that's what, you know, that's what we hope, even if it's a little thing, you know.
But like the weird thing about me is like I, it's very hard for me to sort of get sketch in general. You know, like if I watch SNL, I'm like, what just happened? Like there are these ways that like there might not be a joke there, but there's a repetition that becomes funny. So like I have to contextualize mm-hmm. things. And a lot of it, you know, even when, you know, the dog walker episode and the mail thing, you know, going to that place where it's just that lady, like metaphorically and cinematically, you know, that emotionally makes sense to me because there's that feeling and there the idea if you had to ever go pick something up at FedEx, you know, and you're, you know, in Queens, you had to go over there by the cemetery.
Yeah, it's like, insane.
it's like, where like, is
it's only like during work hours? It's insane.
Yeah.
But like all those things, because, and also because you're drawing from the energy and the possibilities of New York City, you know, it must be incredibly exciting to people like who don't have any experience of New York City, that you're able to sort of, you know, and like, it's funny because you watch your show and you're like, I saw that book on Louis' show. Like there's this world of comedians operating with New York as a backdrop. That's really a celebration of the city, which I always like.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you for saying that because I was like, oh, it's cool to hear.
Oh, the other thing I want to say that I think is great about the show is that, like, there's a lot of things that try to overcompensate with you know, what they're doing with gender and ethnicity and sexuality. And you guys come from a generation and are living in a New York where that stuff doesn't even need to be addressed. It just is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great thing. And I think that, there's something about, someone brought up that there's, you know, the, I don't know, I, you know, I don't, you know, throw around the word feminist or anything else, but there's a sort of comfort to having, you know, young women voices that are confident and not afraid to be filthy and sweaty and shitty and farty.
Ready for season 3 because it's a lot of that
fucking
starting
gross.
Right off the bat.
It's
fucking
great.
Gross. Yeah.
But it's important
we
because
we are so farty. This
we are.
Season.
It is. We watched like the color oof. Of the oof. One of the episodes, and we looked at each other like, "Oh, what have we done?"
But you're doing human
way.
Shit. See that's
yeah.
But see that honesty that we were talking about before. You know, somehow or another, like, you know, for years, for no reason other than cultural identification and sort of like imposed roles that just became what it is, that there was not that dialogue or that world of women that is that fucking, you know, just human and shitty. It's good. Yeah. I'm glad you guys are human and shitty.
Thanks.
And farty.
Thanks.
Sweaty. And putting things in your vaginas.
So sweaty. You are
talking about
really
holes.
Talking about, you're really
how many holes?
Describing
what
the third
the
season
like?
Perfectly for us.
Well, good luck with it. Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
This was
such
a pleasure. Thank you for having
pleasure
us.
Pleasure and an honor.
That was fun. I like them. Enjoy their show. Maybe I'll play some guitar. Let me get it set up.